May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whenever I get gloomy about the state of the world, I think about the arrivals gate at Heathrow Airport. General opinion is starting to make out that we live in a world of hatred and greed, but I don't see that. It seems to me that love is everywhere. Often it's not particularly dignified or newsworthy, but it's always there. Fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, husbands and wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, old friends. When the planes hit the Twin Towers, as far as I know, none of the phone calls from the people on board were messages of hate or revenge. They were all messages of love. If you look for it, I've got a sneaky feeling you'll find that love actually is all around. Those of you who know the film Love Actually will know that they're not my words, they're Hugh Grant's words as Prime Minister. I always know that Christmas is just around the corner when the Love Actually DVD appears next to our television at home. It's become something of a Christmas time custom, and I think I probably know the script backwards. Love is mentioned 14 times in today's readings, and I wonder if it's the same love of which Hugh Grant speaks about in the film Love Actually. Is St. John writing of the type of love portrayed by emojis on a text message and red satin hearts for Valentine's Day? Or is it something radically different? In the second reading, St. John is bringing to a conclusion his letter, summing up its key message, that those who come from God love God, and they share that love with those around them. It's this faith which conquers the world. But John doesn't describe what this type of love looks like, though at the Last Supper we see how Jesus demonstrates it in the washing of his disciples' feet, giving them a new commandment expressed in our gospel reading this morning: love one another just as I have loved you. Jesus' love for his followers, for each one of us, is totally unconditional and all-embracing as he opens wide his arms on the cross, enfolding humanity and showing us a radical new way of living and loving. As we break open the words of Scripture this morning, we hear how the Holy Spirit guided the early church to witness to a new truth, a truth based on justice and mercy and reconciliation. Theirs was a community built on radical love, transforming their world. Love being the agent of this transformation, rather than simply an emotional human response. So the early church understood itself by integrating its liturgy and prayer, its service and a call to God's justice. In so many ways, it was countercultural, showing a very different model of human living. And that's what made it so attractive and why so many people came to join the church. In his teaching, Jesus opened the hearts of his followers to a new vision for the world, in which no one has greater love than to lay down their lives for their friends. In our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the first followers of the way responded to the call of the risen Christ by a new way of living. Peter was a Jewish Christian, and he came to visit Cornelius, a devout Roman centurion, but he was a Gentile and therefore an outcast and not part of the church. Both of them experienced visions, And Peter's vision was that he was told not to call profane what God called holy. So as Peter speaks to Cornelius and his companions, suddenly God's Holy Spirit is poured out on all the hearers. And Peter commands that they are baptized and become part of the church. The boundaries are breached, the walls are pulled down. The Holy Spirit transcends human limitations and narrowness, transforming the early church and its followers. So the small circle defining who is in and who is out is expanded to bring more people in. Here at the cathedral, we often sing the hymn, "There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty." And it goes on to say, "But we make his love too narrow by false limits of our own, and we magnify his strictness with a zeal he will not own." The early church was full of good and devout men and women, but they had a narrow vision, a vision which was limited. Peter and Cornelius couldn't cross the borders in their own strength. They needed the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon them, widening their vision to see a different world, a world full of new opportunities where bridges were built and walls torn down. Living today in the 21st century, boundaries seem to be strengthening rather than diminishing, with plans to build walls along the US-Mexican border and around countries in Eastern Europe. The border in Ireland has become central to the Brexit negotiations. And here within the church, there continue to be arguments over them and us. Who's in and who's out? The circumcised Jewish believers we heard about in our first reading were stopped in their tracks. They were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out, even on these Gentiles. They must have been asking themselves, what on earth was God doing, pouring out his Holy Spirit on Gentiles? Here at Southwark Cathedral, we claim to be an inclusive Christian community, growing in Orthodox faith and radical love. The challenge to myself this morning and to each of us is to ask, which voices, which visions ought we to be listening to, ought we to be challenged by? Which boundaries might the Holy Spirit be prompting us to cross to include others? We can too easily limit being an inclusive community to campaigning for the full inclusion of LGBTI plus people, continuing to open up the church's ministry to women. That has been and continues to be at the core of our values, but it's only a fraction of our story. So let's not neglect to give a voice to the youngest members of our community who are equal disciples of Christ. And at the other end of the scale, to those in riper years, as the prayer book gently describes them. People suffering from dementia or mental ill health, those with limited mobility. How can we as a cathedral fully include people regardless of gender and ethnicity, of those with obvious skills and those whose abilities perhaps need a little uncovering and nurturing? Are those who visit us as tourists getting in the way of our worship, or are they to be welcomed warmly as though we were welcoming Christ, even if perhaps they only stay for 10 minutes. The challenge is, what does it truly mean to be inclusive, to be an inclusive cathedral where every single person can feel of value and held in honour? Jesus never offered us an easy life. On the surface, St. John's words this morning suggest that all we need to do is to look for love, actually. That sounds pretty simple, like it does in the film. And yet, it's the highest calling, the hardest task, to go out and bear fruit, fruit that truly lasts. That fruit is what will transform our church, our communities, and our world. But how open are we to allow God's Holy Spirit to drench us thoroughly and penetrate our hearts, that we might become agents of God's transforming love for all people? Amen.